Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance. And we got a great show planned for you today. Just so much to talk about. And, you know, like I've said before, in that way, it's made this part of the job real easy. There's a dearth of information every single time you, I go to do show prep, happens to the best of us. And not that I am, but just even somebody that talks for a living still stumble over the words. There's so many different angles to be looking at things, right? There's so many different ways to be looking at markets. There's so many different ways to be looking at the political landscape and what's happening and handicapping and blah, 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 blah. So as always, we're going to attempt to address it, needless to say, it is a complicated market that keeps getting increasingly complicated out of the gate. I'm seeing some headlines floating around about the debt limit. Guys, listen, I'm waiting for the inevitable wringing of the hands. The debt ceiling is going to implode and this and that. Listen, it's not going to implode. Just recall how many debt ceiling issues we've been over the last 8 years. This has turned into a political football, right? This has turned into just something to make the other party look irresponsible and stupid. And both sides have done it to each other. And again, you may agree with the reasons one side does it, not the other. Who cares? Markets don't. I'm telling you, it's a lot for nothing. If you get right up to the limit, you could see some volatility. But what I can guarantee you is this thing will not come down because they don't extend the debt limit. The one thing, right? It's death, taxes, and the increasing expansion of our federal debt. You just put that up there with the guarantees you can expect in life. Okay, so don't buy the hand-wringing, oh, they're not going to pay the debt, we're going to default, and the whole world's going to collapse in the next 12 months. Look, I can't definitively tell you the whole world doesn't collapse in the next 12 months. I can definitively tell you it's because It will not be because the U.S. government got religion as far as fiscal responsibility goes. So I like that, you know, that to me, I think it'd be easier to believe that we have formal contact with UFOs and aliens and they become part of NATO. I just guarantee you, you're not going to see fiscal responsibility wash over D.C. and have them start cutting debt limits. So, you know, don't listen to that. You look at the markets, you look at the trends, they are very much higher, despite whatever turbulence we dealt with this week. Monetary policy remains historically accommodative. I know there's a lot of fear out there, a lot of wringing the hands, people saying, I don't see any aspects or any dynamics or any input into this market that is any different from the last 10 to 13 years, quite honestly. I would expect to see liquidity and Fed action and historically low rates and an exuberant public to continue to push equity prices higher. If people go, oh, they're too expensive, you know, welcome to the party. Maybe you're new here. And guys, it just gets down to that mechanistic aspect of it, meaning as capital is being created more and more, it has to go somewhere, right? It just does. And that's the way it works. Now, another thing that has occurred this week is some serious volatility in some asset classes that we're involved in. And I want to use this as an example, because, well, I just think it's a perfect example of how owning the things that make you the most money over time can often be hard. And that when you're going into, you know, like we've said, we've talked about the knife fight many times. We've talked about how, you know, even going back to last year when we were talking about energy being, in our opinion, a lifetime type buying opportunity. And we said it wasn't going to be easy. I think this week is a really good example of, quite frankly, what I've expected more of. Okay, so if we look at uranium, you guys know we've been talking about uranium for a very long time. We have some positions that we picked up, you know, at the beginning of summer of last year in uranium. We've been involved before, but I really needed to see that sector beginning to break out. Most of our positions are up somewhere around 150 to 200% in uranium over that period of time. And so it's been a wonderful investment for us. Yet at the same time, look at what's happened this week. And if you want a good example, now this isn't indicative of all the individual positions we've owned this week at all. But pull up the fund URNM. And for those of you out there that want, and again, guys, this is not a recommendation, okay? If you're going to be involved in uranium for a variety of different reasons, I think that this is not a recommendation to buy or sell. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I think that this is probably the best way to do it. It's a diversified portfolio. I think it's run by some smart people. And remember, they're not picking. It's an index approach. But it is a pure play, meaning if you want to bet on uranium-based companies, URNM is the best fund to do that through because it is a pure play. There's other plays that call themselves uranium funds that have other stuff mixed in. It may not be a bad thing in the long run, but you just need to understand and saying, oh, I own this fund. This is a very good point, actually, that I'm kind of stumbling into that I want everybody to realize. Never trust the title of a fund, guys. Never trust the title of an index. Okay, you need to look at the holdings and verify what is inside of it. Because what often happens at the end of long expansions like we've currently had, especially when markets have ripped higher, is that for a variety of different reasons, some mechanical, some based on career risk, but what inevitably begins to occur is that these funds, despite what the title may be, they inevitably start looking like each other. So you may think you're diversified because you've got small cap growth, you've got large cap value, you've got large and mid cap income. You could have very similar stocks in all of those. And it's shocked. People are always shocked by that. But you shouldn't be. You need to know what you own. Right? And guys, it's not just the other thing I would do too is if you've got somebody else managing your money, if you have somebody else and it's, let's say it's an ETF portfolio, most importantly, mutual funds, because ETFs, at least by and large, have to track an index. That's the reason they exist. Mutual funds are discretionary vehicles. Typically, they have to stay within a mandate. So if they're saying they're going to invest this way and in these types of things, they have to stay true to that. But it doesn't mean they always do. And it doesn't mean the SEC will shut them down. It's our job as investors, for instance, to look for style drift. A lot of times you'll buy a fund, and if that sector isn't performing well, and I've seen this happen to countless value funds, especially over the last 10 years, because value isn't performing well, you watch the makeup of the fund start to morph. We call that style drift. Right? You're getting outside. Because, guys, the number one way you round up more assets in this business is having the mutual fund that performs the best. Right? And so they all want that performance to the S&P 500. And so when the S&P 500 is blowing value indexes away, don't be surprised if the mutual fund starts looking more like the S&P 500 over time. And now you're sitting there thinking you're on a differentiating asset. You've got different kinds of stocks. You're focused more on value and fundamentals, and you're not really. But where most people don't realize this is even in indexes, even if you haven't managed index portfolio, you need to go look and see if that index is as diversified as you think it is. You may not just be safe. And I bring this up all the time, right? You own the S&P 500 ETF. I heard a money manager today, and I in no way am I calling them out because this is secondhand information. It's anecdotal from a new client of ours that left another firm. And the performance that they have had has not been impressive. It hasn't been horrible, but I think they were up like 8 or 9% this year or something like that. Market's up like 18, whatever. And that's a pretty big whiff for an equity portfolio. And the portfolio manager was saying it's because they didn't see the rebound in energy prices and they didn't have anything invested in it. And I kind of chuckled and the client said, is that wrong? And I go, listen, I'm not going to accuse the guy of lying. I didn't hear him say it. Sure, if he would have had more exposure to energy, he would have performed a lot better. But the problem with that is he's still underperforming the market drastically. Well, coming into this year, the energy stocks were still so beat down that I think the energy sector as a whole made up like a 3.5% weight in the S&P 500. So when you go through and do the math, that isn't nearly a big enough exposure to make up for the performance differential between this guy's portfolio and the S&P. So like I said to the client, I go, look, that has certainly played a part, but to attribute that to the underperformance is purely inaccurate. That even if he'd had a 3.5% weighting to energy, it didn't make a big enough difference to make up for the performance spread, the delta in the performance of the two portfolios. So, and this goes to my point. The reason that he's underperformed so bad and the reason that they've underperformed substantially last year is that they just don't have a diversified portfolio and there's really some questionable trading going along. But this is an example of what I mean is need to know what you own, not just the title of it. The other one that has been pretty volatile this week, it isn't having near as of a nasty day today as the uranium stocks have. Look, and for those of you too, that I would say, when you're, again, if you're looking at a trade like this, I think that you have pretty clearly defined stop levels and pretty clearly defined, areas in uranium to keep an eye on. I don't think it's panic level yet, but I think you're getting close to needing to be careful on this run. It is pretty extended, especially with the move that we saw this week. So I would urge some caution there. And if you don't know how to determine what those support levels are and things, you shouldn't be managing your own money. Okay. You just shouldn't, not in this environment. Because it's hard enough, guys, even if you know that. Right. This is a insanely volatile market on an individual stock basis. You're not seeing it so much in the indexes like we've talked about, but this is insanely volatile. Another one, like I was saying earlier, that's kind of following suit is Natgas. Again, not seeing as big of a sell off on those names today, but you've seen a tremendous jump. We had a day. I think it was Wednesday, where our Natgas positions as a whole we're up on average of like 9.5% in a single trading day. and like I said, you're seeing some pullbacks today, but the pain today is really widespread. It's really not too consistent other than uranium. Uranium's getting pounded. But again, you got to look at the run-up. It still doesn't mean exit these positions yet if you own them. That is no recommendation. Again, don't read into this. And guys, also look, just pull up the chart. Playing in these sectors is not for the faint of heart, and I would not advise it for the average investor, because what it will end up happening in things as volatile is you'll just get chopped to bits. Meaning you'll pull out when you think there's danger. The markets will rip. You'll get back in right at the top of the move. Then they'll go back down. You'll pull out, and so you could participate in an uptrend for quite a long period of time and still post substantial losses. It's just a tough thing to play. So I wouldn't advise it. The other interesting thing that we talked about is that we thought we would know a lot more about direction of markets going through the end of the year based on what we're seeing. Pretty interesting today. The best of the performing, you got a good hit. The best of the performing indexes out of the big three, the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ is the Dow. It's down about 0.5%. S&P's down 1. NASDAQ's down like 1.2. Russell 2000 is down 0.35. So the two best performing indexes out of the top four, the Dow and the Russell 2000. Now it's just a day. But for today, that would lend to the idea of the value side of things, the smaller and mid-cap stuff that we think is probably the place to be. And again, we're going to keep our eyes on that, obviously. But it is pulling back substantially less, unlike the other end indexes that have been essentially kind of hovering around the lows of the day. The Russell has been clawing back. It's crawled back about half of its called, I think it was down 0.65. It's down like 0.3233 right now, 0.34, kind of oscillating right around there. So it's clawed back about half its losses. So not only is it down less, but it's bouncing back. Again, one day a market does not make, so we're going to have to keep an eye on that. But that's something to keep an eye on. The other note I've got here about the market update is expect the chop. We've been telling you, we thought you'd see volatility coming into the markets in September. I think this is part of it. I'd be surprised if it's over. I'd expect to see some more noise. The other thing is you're getting closer to a lot of support levels. You're not definitively breaking through. This is starting to feel like a move that you're going to test those. Again, we'll have to wait and see the way that plays out next week. But certainly not a time to be going, you know, straight into the, hopefully. And we haven't had as much as we wanted to, but much to my surprise, I actually thought we were a little slimmer than this, and I was happy about that. But we're actually packing about 12% cash in the value portfolio. We'd been selling off some positions over the last 3 weeks or so, hoping for a little bit of a buying opportunity. Sold some more. We're sitting on about 17% cash right now. I kind of think that's where we're going to be at. Maybe take some shots if certain things get beaten down a lot, but. Yeah, it's not a bad time to have a little bit of cash on the sidelines. The other thing that I want to say here, and I know I'm extending, but I heard one of my employees is a huge baseball fan. He's actually the coach, Trevor. He's actually the coach at a local high school, Mount Tahoma. He's their head baseball coach. And he's a baseball freak, Mariners freak. We're actually going to the game. We got some seats right behind home plate that he's going to lose his mind about. Next week, I believe. And he was telling me that he heard an interview where on the clubhouse or at Mariners headquarters or wherever it is that they have a sign. It's where everybody goes in and out of. So the front doors of the building, maybe it's the clubhouse, whatever it is. But they have a quote up over the top of it that says, "Patience is the shortcut." And I just smiled when I heard that. And I was like, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? And I think that is so true of investing. Right? And this is something that we've been trying to warn our clients about. Of saying, guys, if you're going the right way, if you have the right things, if you're investing in the right things, the one thing I can promise you is it doesn't guarantee smooth sailing. If you're a great parent, it doesn't mean your kid's never going to get in trouble. Right? Expect it. And the patience and the discipline is what wins out. And the same is true of investing. Right? We talk risk management all the time. What is that? Risk management is discipline. Right? Today is a perfect example. In our uranium portfolios, we have three different holdings, three different companies that we believe are the best players in the space, of different size. We believe it's the best way for us to express that view, right? That we like uranium. Now, those are longer-term holds for us. We really haven't changed those positions at all. I think we've taken a little bit of a profit off a couple of them, but really we haven't touched them for the most part. Now, when uranium is in a breakout, we will use URNM as extra exposure. When things are running, we like to feed them, right? Because trends in motion tend to stay in motion. But that part of it for us is very disciplined, meaning we have markers on URNM, meaning it's our extra exposure, so we are not prepared to add at lower prices. We are watching. If it breaks out of our downside target, our max pain target, we're out no matter what. Well, we added it for the extra exposure last week, right before a few days before uranium really started running. And I think we bought URNM right around $80 a share. Okay. It ran right up to, I think, like 97, 98, 99, like in five trading days. Today it pulled back down. Well, we had a stop loss in that position after it ran. Now, when we initiated the position, the stop loss point was a little bit different. But we said, okay, for a variety of different reasons, we bought this at 80. We're going to sell it at 83 no matter what. If it goes back down and hits 83, we're going to be out and reassess. So today it got down to like 81 and change. We pulled the stop loss. I know a lot of people are like, you shouldn't do it till market close. We typically would agree with you, and there were reasons why we set it up this way. But anyway, it hit that level and we sold out. Then URNM has bounced back up to $85.50. Right? which I knew was a distinct possibility because you could look at the volumes, you could look at the flows and go, okay, a whole new rash buy. But that's where the discipline comes in. We're not prepared to take less than that. We'll sell the position at a very small profit. It was our extra juice to the upside. We're not gonna go outside the bounds of the trade. And we're going to have patience with it. We know we're not going to be perfect, but patience is the shortcut. It's true in investing and it's true in trading. And if that approach and that type of thinking sounds attractive to you on the investment side, if you want people managing your portfolios that think that way and that can demonstrate to you exactly how they do that because it's part of their process, it's the way they do things, just give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And here's the other thing, guys. If that seems too personal to you, just sign up for the roadshow we've got, the virtual roadshow coming up September 30th at 3 p.m. We're only about half full at this point. Usually it fills up all the way. We have 100 people, 100 spaces. We typically get about 120 people to sign up, so we have to wait list them for the next one. But there's still about half the spaces left. It costs nothing. We will explain. We'll go into the annuities. We do it in 30 minutes. We go through our entire planning process, explain to you how everything works, shows you the performance, show you the fees, you know, everything you need to know. And then we do a Q&A session that's obviously optional afterwards, so you can ask me directly. But anyways, I'd strongly just take the 30 minutes and look at our stuff. No obligation. All right, again, we're just going to roll it out there, and if it melds, if it works, great. Become a client. Love to have you. If it doesn't, no big deal. Hopefully you leave more educated and it can bring you better results, right? So that's what we're all after. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Again, give us a call, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, boardcapitalmanagement.com. And that's the easiest way to sign up for the roadshow, guys. Just go, again, September 30th at 3 p.m. Go to boardcapitalmanagement.com. A prompt comes right up on the page. You can sign up and then you're good to go. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stick with us. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 30th, right after my show. Zach, I'm excited to be there.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, September 30th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com and you'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, so next segment. You and I think it's usually our best segments. Typically come from my interactions with our clients and questions they ask, because we've got some everybody says this, kind of like, you know, have you ever heard a sports fan say, or excuse me, a professional athlete go, you know, our fans are pretty good. I mean, they're not the best in the league, but they're pretty good. I feel like everybody that does this really, oh, our clients are the best. I really mean that. We've got some spectacularly talented and accomplished clients, in professional worlds and professional athletes, believe it or not. And even better people. But that's why so many segments come from those interactions, because the clients often ask me something that really stretches me, that makes me look at something from a different point of view. And other times it offers me a very good reminder of something that I feel like people should know. And I think that this next comment, did both, honestly. And I was talking to a new client of ours that's just joining the firm. Very accomplished guy, fun guy to chat with, very intelligent, and an accomplished investor in his own right. And he was telling me how 3 years ago, he went to the firm, he moved his money to the firm that he's currently with shortly after he retired. And they had done a decent job. Performance certainly wasn't impressive. He was more concerned with their process and how they went about doing things. But one thing that he thought was a very good idea was he did not like bonds for a lot of the reasons that we've discussed on this show ad nauseum. And he thought that these fixed index annuities were a good option. And that was one of the reasons that our show caught his ear. And we began going over his policy with him, and I noticed a couple things right out of the gate. First of all, he wasn't very happy and wasn't very impressed with it. And I thought, that's odd, because our clients, you know, and there's a couple that have like come. We had one client come, this is about 2 months ago, I want to say. They joined us. They were with us for 30 days. In that 30 days, their account was up 2% and the S&P was up like 2.8 or something like that. And so they said we weren't doing a good job and they pulled their money. So I'm not talking about people like that. I can't, you know, let's put it this way. I didn't call them back and try to get them to stay. Just not a good fit, obviously, right? For them too. And no ill feelings. I hope they do great where they went to. That's not what we're trying to do. So those people may not be happy with the annuities, but our clients that have been with us for a while and have patience and wait to see the process play out, they've been very pleased with them. So it was odd to hear that. And the other thing is he bought a product from a good company, product that puts out products that we like. And then he told me his performance and I went, uh-oh, did you get an upfront signing bonus with that? Yeah, 8%. And I went, yeah, I thought so. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, when they sold this to you, where was this money coming from? And it was coming from an investment account, cash, that kind of thing. And I said, did they explain to you why they use this product? And he goes, no, they told me it was great and the 8% signing bonus. And I went, okay, here's the deal. This is the problem. And this is why I've said so many times, don't just go do the things that you think we're recommending. Right? Don't hear me talk about fixed indexed annuities and real estate as being a real estate fund as being a good bond replacement. Because guys, there are 8 million different kinds of real estate funds. There are 8 million different kinds of annuities. Okay. You could be following what you think we're talking about and get it completely wrong. And I'm begging you to not take that recommendation without speaking to us at least. And I'm not saying that to try to get you to be a client. I'm saying it because I don't want to get in trouble because I'm out here recommending this without telling you the downside. And here's the biggest problem. You don't just need to be able to trust your advisor. You need to make sure that your advisor understands the products. You also need to be cognizant of the fact that, in my opinion, this industry is filled with the greatest number of people that don't know but will refuse to admit they don't know of any other industry that I'm aware of, maybe rivaled only by the medical industry. And that's not a beat up on doctors. I'm sure there's doctors out there that know that would completely agree with that statement. And for whatever reason, this is a business based on knowledge and sounding really smart, and nobody ever wants to admit that they don't understand something as simple as an annuity. Okay, so when you look at these products with a big signing bonus, you need to know immediately you are giving something back. And that thing that you are giving back is performance. If they're going to upfront you performance, you will not make as much over time. And they will always upfront you less performance than you will probably make with a product that is geared toward performing better over the life of the contract. Again, patience is the shortcut. The goal with an annuity is not to see how big our account balance is with the next year. The goal for the annuity is safe and steady growth over the life of the policy. Right? That's and all we care about with that annuity, because it can't go down. Remember, this is very different than stocks. You guys have heard me tell the Amazon story. But because the annuity can't lose, truthfully, the only thing we care about is which one will have us with the biggest stack of money by the end of the contract term. That's all we care about. And when you hear me talking annuities, I am not talking about guaranteed income. The products we use do not even pay guaranteed income. It is basically an insured, balanced mutual fund. Okay, it is all it does is grow your money. If you die, it goes to your wife or your beneficiary. If they die, it goes to the other beneficiaries. If they die, it goes to the other. This is not your classic annuity. And if you notice, I'm emphasizing that the insurance company never gets it. That's one of the biggest knocks against annuities, right? You lose your money. That's not the kind we use. We also don't use the kind with the biggest upfront signing bonus. Why? Because if I am investing in an investment or an investment product that is insured against loss, meaning I cannot lose, what do I want? I want the most exposure to volatility I can possibly get. I don't want a guaranteed upfront 8% because it's going to cost me a lot more than 8% down the road. It only makes sense. If they're going to give you the 8%, they're really confident that the annuity is going to grow more than that. Right? They're making that bet. And if you want to bet against the insurance company, you may win, but your odds aren't very good. And so here's the funny thing. What are those policies really suitable for? In my opinion, and truthfully, this is why they're offered, is because if you get a client in a really bad annuity, especially a variable annuity, oftentimes the only way we can get them out without them taking a hit is doing a 1035. Again, if it works and if it puts the client in a better place, we can use, like, for instance, let's say somebody follows our stock bond, you know, the new bond replacement, but instead of the types of annuities we use, they use a variable annuity. Well, that's not acceptable because the value of a variable annuity goes up and down just like the stock market. It's variable. So it can go to zero. Okay. Typically speaking, when we see that as kind of the bond replacement of a portfolio, almost always we'll advocate getting out of that, and sometimes we'll advocate getting out of it for another annuity, again, depending on if it's good for the client. Well, those products with the higher payout ratio, we know that they're not going to pay as well, but we also know that they're going to offset the pain of getting out of that bad investment choice. And when we put it all together, you know, the performance, the guarantee of loss as opposed to coming out of a vehicle that has no limit on how much you can lose, and the amount of money, if it still puts them in a better position, we'll use that product with the lower growth and the higher payout to switch out of that other bad product. That's really the only time it should be used. And you can see the evidence. So he's owned this policy and he's up about 11.5%, something like that, 12% in like 2.5, 3 years. The products that our clients in on average are up somewhere between 20 and 25 over the same period of time, despite the 8% upfront signing bonus. And so I wanted to take a segment, not too long, but to address this issue because, A, if you get why we like annuities more than bonds, then congratulations. Because and we're going to talk about this later in another segment, but all over the place, we're hearing quote-unquote experts all of a sudden jumping up and singing that story. Right? So in my opinion, you've made a very good educated decision. However, like all things in the world or all things in life, how you execute is just as important as the plan itself. Right? So coming to that realization that there's a much better, much safer option that will pay you substantially more money and, you know, it wins on all levels, you know, realizing that is the first challenge. Then implementing and executing it properly is the next, and it's just as important as the first. Right? It does us no good if we come to the right conclusion and execute it poorly. Right? In the stock market, it's one of the reasons we do things, and it's been built into our process. Meaning, you know, whenever if I think uranium is going to go up higher, or I think gold is going to go higher, I'm going to spread my bets off across multiple names in that sector. Why? Because the most painful thing in the world is to get the story right and execute poorly. Right? And if I put it all on one stock in that sector, what if that stock has a problem that is really only applicable to it, right? Not the industry, just to it. You could see the other uranium stocks go up 50 to 100% and the one you picked might have gone down. Right? So again, right idea, right outcome, you drilled it. You just executed poorly. And if you're out there buying annuities based on what you hear us talk about, it's not a guarantee, but it's probable it's going to happen to you. And the reason it's probable it's going to happen to you is because I have yet to run there's a couple, but very few people have done the necessary work, especially in the financial industry, in the asset management industry, to be able to accurately describe these products. And the funny thing is like with almost so many different things in our culture, you're going to get the annuity advocates and you're going to get the annuity detractors. Do you know where the truth lies? Somewhere right in the middle. You've heard me say it a million times. An annuity should not be the cornerstone of your portfolio in most cases. Can it play a valuable role? Yep. What valuable role can it play? A replacement for CDs, cash, and bonds, right? Outside of that, should it replace stock? No. Because the annuity can't make 40% in 8 months like our value portfolio has. But it also can't lose. But the implementation is everything. And once you want, it's like anything else in life too. It took us a while to wrap our head around it because it uses completely, the insurance industry operates so much differently than financial. So you say certain things in the insurance industry, and if you're in that industry, you know exactly what people are talking about. If you're using vernacular from the financial world, you miss it. And that's and truthfully, I think that's one of the reasons why so many people have missed this. And it's sad because like they're coming to the realization now that boy, these bonds are really, and then you look at how much money these people have missed out on when they could have been taking zero risk and not paying a fee. But the execution matters. The execution matters, and patience is the shortcut. Okay, so just to close up that last segment on annuities, because again, I know that we have a lot of new listeners to the podcast and the show, and we've been doing this show now for 6 years, so there's a lot of times I don't go over certain things because I think that we've hit on them enough. And I just want to be perfect clear regarding the conversation about annuities. Why do we like them? If you use the type that we used, fixed indexed annuities with no fee and no cap, historically, you look at these things, they've done a little bit higher at certain times in the past. They've done a little bit worse at certain times in the past. But if you look back long enough, you see these things cranking out 5 to 6% a year. Okay. They're insured against loss. and they don't have a fee. Why do we prefer that over bonds? Because they make 5 to 6% a year. They're insured against loss and they don't have a fee. I've said it before and said it again. The easiest way to improve your performance and the security in your portfolio is swapping out your bonds. I'm not laughing because I think you're an idiot if you haven't done it. I'm laughing because if people realized the value of doing that, and it cramps my brain that they don't, but if people could understand the value of getting 2 to 2.5 times the expected return with none of the risk and none of the expense. And guys, there is no, if you buy the right kind, there is no other hidden cost. There is no other hidden, you know, people say that when they don't understand what they're talking about. Well, yeah, but there's the secret fees and the hidden fees. You know what I love about that statement? Is it right? It's like a false negative. Right? It's counterfactual. I can't go back and prove to you that that's not true because it isn't. I can't point to where it says in the contract and there is the absence of a hidden fee before. Right? It's a mental cop-out. If you want to know what the downsides of annuities are, let's recap it. Like every other investment, guys, there's a downside. There is no perfect investment. Okay, but let's talk about the fixed indexed annuity, and we'll get to the rest of the segment that I wanted to discuss. But again, I want to be crystal clear. What are the downsides to the annuity? One, lack of liquidity. An annuity, and almost always the 10-year contracts are the way you should go, almost always, because they give you more upside. But everybody goes, oh, your money isn't liquid. Listen, your money isn't liquid in an IRA account. These annuities typically start out in year one with a 9% surrender charge, meaning if you put 100 grand in and you want it out, you'd pay 9 grand after the first year. And then every year, typically, that surrender charge decreases by 1%. People go, my money isn't liquid. And you're like, well, guys, you've got a max 9% surrender charge. Your IRA has a 35% surrender charge. It's called personal income tax. Right? So when you're talking about your IRA money, the annuity is not complicating your liquidity at all. Okay. And furthermore, in most cases, the gains in the annuity outpace bonds enough in most cases to within the first 2 or 3 years of the annuity contract, if we were to cancel the contract and pay the fee, you'd still walk with more money than you'd have made over that period of time in bonds. Okay, so in most cases, the liquidity argument, yes, it's true. It does have less liquidity per se than other things. But when you consider the fact that it pays typically twice as much with none of the risk and none of the cost, I think that little less liquidity is a small price to pay. The other one is tax complications. You hear insurance agents talking about, you got to buy an annuity because it grows tax deferred. True, but the gains inside of the annuity are taxed at your personal income rate, not capital gains. Again, another reason why we like to use it in the IRA, because every dime you've got in an IRA, when it comes out, will be taxed as your personal income. So it doesn't, if we use it inside of the IRA, it doesn't complicate the liquidity at all, and it doesn't complicate the tax schedule. So it kind of nullifies those two downsides. But they are downsides nonetheless. Now, are there products with hidden fees that don't work like? Yes, that's the whole point. That's why I'm saying you need to know which ones to pick. So anyway, want to get into the other, that's enough on that. But I just want to be dead clear because I just would never want somebody to buy a bad product because they thought that all of them were good. Now, for those of you that have subscribed, and I wish I had a little more time to go over this, but for those of you that subscribed, and you know what we're going to do here, actually, we're going to go over, I don't have an interview planned for this week. I did, but for a variety of different reasons, we had to move it to next week. But I'm going to do a deep dive segment where I'm going to continue this on our own. So again, for those of you new or whatever, the deep dive segment is, it's not part of the regular show. And we don't broadcast it, but it's part of the podcast. So if you want to get that, just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast and subscribe to the podcast and you'll get access to all that stuff. And, or just pull the podcast up and you can, you know, It's not hard. Just Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast and you'll see the deep dive segment. Anyway, listen to a really interesting interview with a good friend of the show, Grant Williams, and then another good friend of the show, Bill Fleckenstein. Interview another money manager named Harley Bassman. Now, Harley is a very sharp guy, accomplished money manager, and The reason I bring this up is not to stick my chest out and tell you how right I was. The reason I bring this up is to hopefully, you know, lend some credibility and credence and realize that what you're hearing from me isn't just what I'm seeing. Now, it's probably not what you're going to hear in the mainstream, but it's where we think you should be looking, right? Investing is like a game of, like, you know, the way Wayne Gretzky described playing hockey is he's skating to where the puck's going to be, right? Well, investing is much the same way. And Harley was illustrating the fact that the Federal Reserve now has bought so much TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, issued by the U.S. government, that they effectively own 25% of the entire market. And then he goes on to articulate that there is so much artificial influence, and the Fed is so impacted and influenced prices of securities, including TIPS and U.S. government bonds, you know, that I've heard some people talk about, you know, if you want to own a long bond portfolio, the way that you can hedge out that risk is by buying TIPS. And Harley, and I think correctly, illustrates in this interview that the market is so manipulated and the Fed owns so much that interest rates going up may not mean that TIPS make money. In fact, if the Fed quit buying them, you could see TIPS and bonds losing money at the same time. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I heard him say that and I went, I could not agree more. And the reason why is, do not tell me how markets typically function. Typically speaking, if you're worried about a rise in rates, TIPS where you want to be. But the Fed has got such a heavy hand on the scales, or a thumb on the scale, as Bill Fleckenstein always likes to say, that we just don't know. To sit there and say, oh, this will lead to that, right? Everything central bankers are doing are to push off typical financial ramifications. So when all they're doing is kicking the can down the road and pushing off the normal, you know, reactions and the normal ramifications that would typically accompany, you know, rates going higher, then when that actually happens, don't be surprised if what typically, you know, right, if what typically happened in the past doesn't take place this time. And this is why we go back to, you know, when people sit there and go, you know, we're going to put you in a stock portfolio right now. We're going to stay long and strong the market with index funds. It's going to be great. You can expect to make 11% a year. Of course, they could be proven correct. But I think it's kind of an important thing they're leaving out, which is that anytime the market has been valued at levels like we're currently at, the returns over the next 10 years for the market have been between negative 3 and 0%. Right? So, of course, you could be right. But history tells us that is not the case. Now, the reason why I say they could be right is because the inputs are so different from history. Right? If the inputs are different, the outputs will probably be different too. Now, I'm of the belief that looking at the inputs, that the outcome will be worse than average. But this is why we manage risk, because I don't know. And neither does anybody else. What do you need to have? You need to have a portfolio that if the Cathie Woods and the Perma Bulls of the world are correct, and the S&P is going to double over the next 3 years, you can't afford to miss out on that, because that will be the result of inflation that is not transitory. However, if history does play out, and when it eventually does, because it will eventually, you got to be protected from loss. There's no threading the needle. Nobody can predict all these things. The only thing we can do is manage risk. And in the portfolio you are in, for 99% of you, that isn't happening. As a matter of fact, the opposite of risk management is happening. What I mean by that, you are paying excessive cost to take excessive risk to make historically egregiously deficient returns. Great. That's the opposite of risk management. If you recognize that that's what's happening, if you recognize you cannot afford to pay somebody to have 40 to 50% of your money in bonds, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com or capitalmanagement.com. Check out our Twitter site at KYR Radio. You guys know the drill. And also, if that's too personal, if it's intimidating to call us, which I get, it shouldn't be. We got some, I think we got like the, I, Well, I know. Again, everybody says this. I just think we have the best stinking staff in the world. And I know that because I get complimented on them constantly by existing clients. And you guys know how it is, right? You don't get complimented on the people you hire unless they're doing an exceptional job, right? So I get off track talking about how proud I am of our team, but I digress. But anyway, it shouldn't be intimidating to call us, but if it is, if that feels like too big of a commitment, if you don't really trust the fact that it won't, you know, pigeonhole you into a sales process, I understand. It won't. I understand. But that's why the virtual roadshow is so great. Again, September 30th at 3 p.m., sign up. It costs nothing. And in the space of 30 minutes, you'll go through our entire process. You'll see all our portfolios. You get to look behind the door, know what they cost, how they perform. You guys know the drill. Don't miss it. And tune in next week and stick around for our deep dive segment because I'm going to dig more into this Harvey Bassman and Grant Williams interview. Get it. Google Know Your Risk Radio podcast to get the deep dive. Anyway, we got to go. Have a great weekend. Go Hawks. Go Dogs. We'll see you next week. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 30th, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds because I can promise you if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, September 30th. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement with the firm's licensed direct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.